Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
What's up, everybody? This is Bakabytes. I'm Frankfurter. That is Magically Average. And today, we are going to be talking about the winter 2024 season in review. We are pretty much done with the winter season. There's maybe like an episode, maybe two, left for the season. So we figured now's as good of any time as to reviewing the season. So I don't know about you, but I've gotten about 10 shows probably on my list.
I think I ran around 7 or 8.
Okay, so we're about the same, because I probably have 10 that I've been watching that I have not like completely caught up on. I know that I'm like an episode behind on like Metallic Rouge, bottom tier character Tomozaki, and The Witch and the Beast. So like there's a couple that I'm behind on like an episode, and then there's Undead Unluck, which I'm completely far behind like by 8 episodes.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, let's start off with the bad. What was the most disappointing thing that you watched this season?
Honestly, there wasn't anything disappointing. I was trying to think through all the anime that I've been watching this winter season, and truthfully, this was one of the most impressive seasons of anime in recent memory. I mean, obviously, we haven't watched every single anime that's come out, and I know I've watched, like, two that I dropped. One was The Witch and the Beast, which I just did not enjoy. And I'm pretty sure there was another one that I tried, and I was, oh, it was Gushing Over Magical Girls.
Yeah, I was about to say, Gushing was like, probably the biggest doo-doo of the...
Yeah.
But, no, there's a couple other for me, but yeah, for you.
Yeah, well, and in Gushing Over Magical Girls, it wasn't even that it was doo-doo, it was just that they took a lot of liberties with the manga, which is a kind of a shame because the manga is really funny.
Yeah.
And they just went insanely just etchy, hentai, pervy with it. And I was like, nope, I'm good. But yeah, no, I mean, all of the anime that I watched this season was incredible. And it ranged from like action adventure to just very laid back casual slice of life to really romance heavy, you know, anime. Like there was a wide gamut to drama too. There was drama, you know, the different genres all had just such strong contenders that I do believe this was one of the best overall well-rounded seasons of anime over the last, probably honestly, like 2 years.
Dang, fair enough. Yeah, no, I agree that this is like one of the most impressive seasons we've had in a while, if not the last, like you said, 2 years. Probably a better season in 2022, but it escapes me now. as to what that may have been. But yeah, there for me were a couple stinkers. I know that I had read a chapter of gushing over magical girls and I thought it was funny enough. I was like, oh, okay, this will be a bit risque for what it is. But I think it'll be, you know, funny because there's good comedy to it. And it just was, no, it was not that. Yeah. The comedy was there. We'll say, like, for all intents and purposes, like, episode one was funny, but it was way more etchier than the source material was, and just for that, you and I were both out.
Yeah, like, I did a comparison, like, a one-to-one comparison between the manga and the anime, and I was shocked.
Yeah.
Because I even picked it out. I was like, there's no way I read this. Like, this scene did not happen, and sure shit, it didn't.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it was an immediate turnoff, for sure.
And there were a couple shows that I watched that I definitely dropped that some were just like episode one where it's like, let's give this a shot, let's see how it is, and it just wasn't great. I think the first one being the Sengoku Yoko, which was basically just about yokai and other otherworldly monster type things. I was just like, I was unimpressed by episode one. I was just like, I don't need to continue this. I have seen enough. I don't need to. There was another one that I watched that I don't remember off the top of my head, and I'm trying to.
Is it Butchigiri?
Like, I will get to that, but that is not it. I'm trying to. It was another one on Crunchyroll that I watched in episode one, and I'm stalling for time by talking in circles. That I just was not a fan of. It wasn't Mr. Villain's Day Off, because I enjoyed that for what it was, but I knew that wasn't my show, so I stopped it.
It
was one that was suggested to us as well, and I'm just like, which one was it? It was
Crimson? No, Crimson Red was
Delusional Monthly Magazine. Oh, I watched episode one of that, or was that last season?
No, that was this season. I'm still surprised that was suggested to us, because when we read the synopsis and watched the trailer, it looked awful. Like, it looked real bad.
We were pitched to it as like a Saturday morning cartoon type of goofiness, which it was, but it also wasn't great, in my opinion, for Saturday morning cartooniness. So that one I definitely dropped overall. And then the biggest stinker to me was Butchigiri, like you were saying, in which I was going to get to. I watched the first three episodes of it. I couldn't make heads or tails of if I enjoyed it or not. It wasn't necessarily an action anime, and it wasn't necessarily a drama anime, and it wasn't necessarily a comedy anime. It was somewhere in the middle, and it just did not work for me. The art, like, it tried so hard to be an action anime, but like each action scene was literally just like one punch. Like, the kid would just throw one punch, and then like whoever he punched would just come back out of it and just like fucking knock him out with another one punch. And it's like, that was your fight scene. It's like, great. This was not fun. Like, that wasn't good. The action was not good for me in the first three episodes. And then it's like, cool. What about the comedy? It was trying so hard, I felt like, to be a JoJo's Bizarre Adventure type of comedy with some of the spirits and just power-ups, etc. And it just fell flat for me. It didn't really hit the punchline for me. So a strike two was there. And then comedy action, and I don't even remember my third fucking point because it just wasn't great.
Animation? Animation was kind of
The animation funky. Was okay. Like, I didn't mind it. Like, it was okay. Just the show was, I thought it was going to be good. I thought it was going to be fun. It was a MAPPA original. It was like, great. And it just turned out to be bland as can be. And I mean, I'm not the only one that thinks this. Like, the scoring on MAL currently is a 6.83. So, like, that's, whenever you're in the sixes on MAL, you know you've got a just absolute mid-tier show.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really wanted to like Butchigiri because it's an original show. I really want to support originals. But this just didn't hit any of the marks at all. It just was boring as can be. So I think for me, the biggest stinker of the season definitely was that. There's another show that we'll get to later in the show or podcast that I thought had a lot of potential that just also was not great, but I found it a lot more enjoyable than that. So, yeah. But those are the bads. Those are the what we kind of dropped, what we didn't enjoy. Let's go on to what was your top three? And then we can go into what were the other shows that we watched that we would, you know, kind of put underneath that. So let's start. If you had to put a number on it, what would be your number three show of the season?
My number three?
Mm-hmm.
My God. That is incredibly challenging.
And I'll say that you could use, like, the shows that were coming over as, a core team.
Yeah, well, so I'm going to... Okay, that's also good. I'm going to, like... Because, honestly, all of the anime I watched, they could all get first, second, or third in my list. I think they're very interchangeable. Honestly, it's just episode to episode and how strong it is, but... The anime overall that I watched were all, like, in my opinion, top tier. So I want to give shout outs to each kind of big genre block that I watch. So I guess I would say third for me would be Delicious in Dungeon. That one was just a hoot.
Yeah.
That one had, like, perfect delivery comedy that I look for in an anime. Like, things that are just, it's so natural. It's just, like, the flow of a conversation leading into jokes just had me going all the time. Not to mention it was done by Studio Trigger, which is one of my favorite studios in terms of their animation and the quality of the anime they produced too. It had all the different bits I wanted in an adventure type anime with the twist of it being like food centric, not to mention like monster food centric. I really enjoyed it. It was a very, very fun time. Every episode had its own little messaging and theme behind it. I thought that was great. And
focusing on a new cuisine each episode.
Yeah, but again, nothing was forced in it. It was all felt like it was just natural, which was it was nice to see, because a lot of times you get like adventure style anime or dungeon centric anime. And it seems like they're trying to like either force comedy or they're trying to force these plot lines or whatever. And it just doesn't hit right. Like nothing really lands or sticks and it feels kind of clunky. Delicious was like the complete opposite in that everything flowed smoothly with one another. All the characters were well built out. They all like with their unique personalities, they all bounced off each other in different ways. The progression of the anime too was great in that, you know, it was slow and methodical episode to episode, but was still like a hurried pace of like, hey, we have a mission, we got to get going. But it still like gave a lot of honor to the dungeon itself, and that like it's hard to traverse it. They didn't do like, you know, cheat codes and shortcuts to get through it, which is also appreciated.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would think it's. I think it would have gotten more love if it wasn't on Netflix, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
I saw things when it first came out. People were like, yes, this is going to be great. And it just kind of plummeted, like fell off the face of the earth. I think people kind of forgot about it. And people reviewed it pretty poorly at the beginning, too, which I thought was astonishing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that would be my third.
I honestly... That would be the show of the season for me if had I not lost access to Netflix at around episode 6. So for me, Delicious in Dungeon is a solid runner up just for the fact that I lost access to Netflix. So I'm way behind on that.
But you've at least read it. So
I've
you
read
know...
the entire series. I actually picked up volume 13 last week before we went to PAX. Which was a fun time, but yeah, there's only one more volume that we're waiting on before it's all out physically, but my stupid little pea brain couldn't take it anymore and had to read ahead and read it all. But for me, my number three show is going to be Shangri-La Frontier, purely for the fact that this specific core two, I enjoyed a hell of a lot more than I enjoyed core one, which I thought Core 1 is fantastic in its own right. For me, Core 2, there was the battle with... God, I forget the guy's name, but basically there was like a 5-episode long battle with God dang it, I can't remember the samurai's guy's name, but basically a unique monster within the game. They had a like basically 5-part, 4-part battle, something like that. And it's one of those things that it took a full volume for it to get through the battle. And I was like, please take your time with this. Give us all the action. Give us what, you know, give us a good fight scene. And they did that. They went full Demon Slayer on it. The ending clash between them was gorgeous. I think that because I enjoyed that arc so much and that they did it so well, that this is solidly my number 3. This is just a show that I've just been enjoying week to week. It's not by any means the most groundbreaking show. It's not the most think piece show, but it is a fun show. It's like, I won't equivalent it to going to see like Fast and the Furious Turn Your Brain Off like type of fun, but it is like you don't have to think about it too hard to just enjoy this show. It's a good time. The fight scenes, when they do occur, are great. And the characters are fun, and the video game world that they build has been fantastic. My only complaint is that there is a scene where they go to the actual developer after they defeat this unique monster. Sorry, spoilers. When they defeat the first unique monster and they go into the developer, into like the brains of the people behind it, and they're like freaking out because they went out of order for what unique monster should have died first. And I really wish that, I mean, because I'm a little bit ahead in the source material, I really wish they kind of delved into that a bit more and just what their plans were to, like, fix that. So, I don't know. To me, I really thoroughly enjoyed Core 2 of Shangri-La Frontier. So, yeah. But from there, I'm just going to jump straight into my number 2 because you've been talking for a while. I'll talk for a while. For me, my number 2 is... I hate to snub Solo Leveling like this, but it's Apothecary Diaries. I thought that it was a fantastic overall season, but Core 2 specifically as well was great. I think that it started out a bit slow, but once, because it almost seemed like they had switched gears into like she became like a Sherlock Holmes type character. And then they kind of brought everything together and all these pieces connected together. And I think they did that in a very well and organic way and tied it to, you know, back to her poisoning and, you know, or her love of poisons, etc. And to me, just that whole bringing it all together and then resolving a main plot line at the end of the season. I think that Core 2 was almost strong, like if not stronger than Core 1. I thoroughly enjoyed the Apothecary Diaries. This was a show that my little sister, bless her heart, she was like, I don't care if I don't watch anything else this season, Apothecary Diaries is the show, you better fucking watch it. So I was like, okay, I will watch the show for you. You rarely, like, you will generally suggest something and I've already seen it. This is coming out, I will watch it for you. And I didn't think I was going to like it because, you know, it takes a specific type of historical drama piece for me to really get into it. Like, Vinland Saga is a great example because it's a great historical piece. But there are others, like that yokai one that I watched episode 1 of earlier this season that I just didn't like. This really spoke to me on a different level. I think that they knocked this out of the park. I really enjoyed it. This is, yeah, cemented as my number 2 for sure.
Yeah, no, that makes my number 2 super easy because mine is also Apothecary Diaries. The only thing I would add is that season 2 felt a little bit more structured, and I don't even want to say it's well-paced because I thought season 2 was well-paced. Season 1 moved at a very frantic pace, albeit it was still well, like, maintained throughout the entire season, like episode. But, like, it started off with Mau Mau and her adopted dad, and then she gets kidnapped, and then she gets put in the palace, and then she gets, you know, she has this one role, and then they realize she's an apothecary, and then she becomes a taste tester, and then she gets put into another role, and then another role, and then another role, and then the season ends. Right, and then fired, and then rehired, and then, like, season 2, it was less about moving around and like exploring the palace and the inner workings of how everything operates, and more about like the actual, it felt like they finally got to the story of like, now she's solving these mysteries and she's utilizing her knowledge of herbs and medicines to her benefit too, and you know, the benefit of the others around her. On top of everything you said, I think I enjoyed that aspect more of season two, which is why I would put it as my number two. But yeah, this anime is shockingly good. Like, it is, it should be on many people's list to watch, even if you're not an historical person. Mind you, it's not a one for one. It's not like these characters existed. It's more of just a tale of,
yeah, you know, it's just a setting.
Yeah. But the drama piece to it, so well done. And it was very methodical in how they unraveled different stories throughout, more towards like the end of season one, but definitely throughout core two, we'll say core two, because they announced that season two was in production at the very end.
Yeah, which I'm very excited about.
Yeah. Side note, a lot of anime, I found that this season, a lot of anime seem to have announced that they're in works or have already like a set time frame on when their next season was going to be released.
Yeah.
Which I liked. It wasn't like, you get most of the time you're just kind of sitting there like, all right, I guess I got to wait for the announcement. But it was like final ending. It's just, nope, we're coming out soon. Get ready. And you're like,
heck yeah.
All right, well, I'll be damned. Yeah.
Kind of like Oshinoko was just like, hey, season two is in production. And now we finally, this past weekend, actually, we found out that Oshinoko season two is coming out in summer this year. So it's like,
yeah.
It took like a year, I guess, for it to fully, or, you know, just over a year for a next season. So it's kind of nice. Hopefully we get season two relatively quickly, but I think it's about maybe a year, maybe half a year until we get the next season.
I know Frieren had like a...
The adventure will continue.
Yeah, the adventure will continue, but then I want to say they announced it somewhere online that season two is going to drop, I think, end of this year, like 2024, because Apothecary Diaries was like early 2025. So we have about a year. And then Frieren was like, this year is season two, which I was like, whoa.
Look into that real quick. But because I have not seen anything about that. I just saw like the season two will or the adventure will continue.
Yeah, I thought I saw confirmation of season two.
The only things I'm seeing right now. No, it just might be hinting at a season two.
Got it. All right.
So, yeah, which one of those sources is comicbook.com, and you know my thoughts on comicbook.com.
Yes, I do.
But before we get into the number ones of the season, which I think both of us are on the same page for that, let's...
I wouldn't be so sure.
Oh, okay. Let's go over just some kind of middle-tier shows and honorable mentions for your top shows of the season. So... is there anything in particular that you're just like, that you want to discuss for this past season that just didn't crack the top three, but weren't bad enough to be considered the worst show of the season?
Well, so I guess I'll kind of clump some of the remaining shows that I have, together. So, Hokkaido Girls are super adorable. Excellent. It was like exactly what I wanted out of the manga. I thought it was really well done. And I did thoroughly enjoy it. It kind of got overshadowed by another anime, but it was still a really, really good romance. Metallic Rouge was the original from Bones, and I wanted it to be better. I think they tried to do way more than what they needed to with it, like story-wise. They got too deep into the weeds and just should have focused on mech fighting, like... super android, like whatever you want to call them, like there was too many like layers to this massive cake they wanted to build that eventually just kind of toppled over, which is a shame because this was like their 25th anniversary project, so you wanted to see like something masterful out of it, and it just kind of puttered towards the finish line. It was still I still enjoyed it, but they definitely overworked it too much. And then I think my other one would be Tis Time for Torture Princess. It was a fun one. Like, it was cute. I was happy to see that it didn't get old and stale from, like, the recurring jokes.
You did finish it, then?
I haven't. I think I'm like one more episode.
Okay.
I'm close. Yeah. But it was nice to just see that even after like episode two, that they started to deviate away. Like there was still the same trope of like the torture aspect, quote unquote torture aspect.
Yeah.
But the settings and the situations and, you know, the fact that they showed more characters. Yeah, it started to get more unique and they started to build out a little bit of like story to it as well. So that was nice. But like those three, I kind of clumped together. The one that stood out the most to me, and it's one that you already mentioned, and I'm sure I'll get laughed at about it, but I did truly and honestly love this show to death. It's Mr. Villain's Day Off. This show is wholesome to the umpteenth degree. Like, I know people would say, like, you know, watched his time for torture, because, yeah, that is really cute and adorable as well. But this anime hit way too many different emotions. Like, at one point, you could be watching, and you're just laughing and chuckling at the humor of it, and then the very next sequence in the same episode, you could be bawling your eyes out. Like, it's topsy-turvy all the time. Like, it keeps you on your toes. You don't know what's coming next. And it definitely, like, after episode one, you completely kind of forgot the premise of this and that the entire anime takes place on this villain's day off.
Yeah.
Like, every single episode. Well, I shouldn't say every episode, not to spoil anything, because there are good guys and bad guys in this. But, like, they focused on other characters. Like, there was whole episodes dedicated to different groups of people. There were episodes where there was the least amount of talking ever in an anime. Like no words were spoken, it felt like. It was wild. But it was so cozy. And that's like the best way to describe this one, is that it was just super cozy. It is the type of anime, now that season one is complete, it's the type of anime that you would want to, like, on a snowy day or rainy day or just like a day in on a weekend, you just get underneath a blanket, get a nice drink and snack, and you just binge it for like 4.5-5 hours. It is wonderful. I absolutely love this one. It's like, it's up there in terms of my comfy cozy slice of life series.
Fair enough. Yeah, for me, you had already mentioned Metallic Rouge. I don't think it, in my opinion, like, I have similar opinions in which it had a lot of potential and it just didn't live up to that potential. Mine isn't so much that they were building up a lot of things and it toppled over. It's that it had an identity and it never focused on any one thing specifically for a good amount of time to where, like, that would be the interesting hook or whatever. It just didn't grab your interest.
It had it. It had it at the very beginning.
Yeah, the first episode, it was almost like a facade. It just, like, it showed you something that was super promising, and then it just fucking deviated away from it. Like, the cyberpunk world, like, almost no longer existed. It was just a world filled with robots and humans. Like, it just kind of lost that feel that everybody wanted. They're like, great, another cyberpunk anime? I'm fucking in. Let's do it. And it lost all of that world building to me. Like, it gave us different world building in the sense of robots versus humans and wanting to become sentient and, you know, not have to just obey orders. So, like, it was just disappointing in that respect. But
they took what was effectively a very simple but entertaining premise and, like, created so many knots in it that it started to get confusing, a little bit dulled. Like my first episode, you're like, yes. And then second episode, you're like, what the fuck is happening? And then by the seventh episode, you're like, I can't even make sense of these different organizations and who's with whom and who's fighting what and what is going on. I just wanted robots fighting robots. Yep. Like, I was thinking in my head, like, what is this like? It's basically like untangling someone's headphones for them, like those shitty iPhone headphones, and being like, here you go. And having like the satisfaction of like, yes, finally. And then you just purposefully knot them again and go,
here you go.
Like, throw them back. Yeah. Like, they had it and then they just threw it away.
Yeah. No, I agree. And then the other one that I know that you talked about that I'll touch upon a little bit more is the 'Tis Time for Torture. I have finished the season. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Like you said, that they were, there was something unique about each episode. The shtick was the same, but it felt fresh episode to episode, that it was just like it held my interest week after week. I think halfway through the season, I told you, I was like, hey, I'm really enjoying this show. I think it's funny. I think it's great. I just, you know, as soon as they keep doing the same thing of like it's the same plot, like it's just food for an entire episode again, I'm out. But no, they add going to the park, playing video games, going to a theme park. And then even in the last episode, which I won't ruin for you, they throw another fucking huge curveball at you, which was hilarious. I thought it was great. And it was the main, like, main plot, I'll call it, quote-unquote plot point of the episode. The main torture. We'll call it the main torture because there's multiple tortures per episode.
Yeah.
It was the main torture of the episode, and I thought it was absolutely fucking hilarious and genius. It was great. So to me, I really think that 'Tis Time for Torture Princess was just something underappreciated this season that went way under the radar, because the shtick can be the same and sometimes that could be old for people. Like, I know for me, what's the one where the adults are the working for the children's TV show? Life
you
Lessons with Earth. Yeah. Life Lessons
you
with Life Lessons, though, for me, like, that show is an example of, like, killing a shtick. It was the same shtick episode to episode, so it just kind of killed all momentum. While this, it's the same shtick, but different, very different each time. So I truly appreciated that.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The other one that you had touched upon that I wanted to discuss was Hokkaido Gals. I have not watched the last episode, but I'm caught up on the manga, so I know what happens. I thought that this was an enjoyable season. I think that, if I'm not mistaken, they could have gone more into the harem territory, but they really shied away from it, or they haven't even really gotten to it, and that's something to save for season two. But to me, it was a good slice of life. I enjoyed it. It was comfy, cozy as well. It wasn't overly, like, sexualized or fan servicey. Like, it was just decently wholesome for, you know, a Garu being the main main character or main love interest for.
Excuse me, sir.
I know.
Three Gyarus. It's three Gyarus.
Okay. Well, you know,
with different personalities. I hate that this one is categorized as like a harem because it's
out of technicality.
Yeah. No, I know. It's such a stark difference between how everything's portrayed in the anime versus how it's portrayed in the manga. Because in the manga, it almost feels like the focus is on the three girls of like interest, we'll say.
Yeah.
And less about like our guy, kind of like him being the focal point, versus the anime where he seemed to be kind of the focal point. I do believe that it's going to inevitably transition, you know, once we get further into the source material, because that's kind of how it felt like I was reading it too. But I don't like calling it a harem. I don't think it's a harem. It's basically just like it's who can confess to whom first. It's not like he's running around and cheating on each other and having like just debauchery.
I mean, he goes on a date with one of the girls and the other two like follow them and then enjoy the date with them.
Yeah, exactly. And he goes on the date because he scored the highest in his class.
Third highest. He ranked third in his class.
Yeah. So that, and he promised her that he would go on a date with her.
I
love how each of the girls has like stark personalities like from one another, like the complete opposites, and yet somehow they all mesh together really well, and it's a fun watch. But yeah, it again, loved it. Didn't think it was like anything stellar, like my number one.
Which, by the way, halfway through you just talking now, it clicked as to what your number one is for me. Moving on real quick, just a couple other shows that we haven't touched upon it, or you quickly touched upon them. Solo Leveling was one that, like, I've read the entirety of it. Huh. I really enjoyed it. I didn't think it was, like, anything special. Like, it's one of those things that I was, like, I think on a previous episode I was saying that this is the manhwa to get into. This is the show that, you know, will carry the manhwa into, like, the light. And I feel like, to me, it did, but it didn't. It was definitely the best manhwa adaptation, but at the same time, I feel like the pacing was slowed down compared to what it could have been. I feel like they could have gotten a lot further maybe with season one, but they kind of slowed it down a bit for this season. So to me, I feel like while it was still enjoyable, it kind of slipped down in my rankings of hype and what I enjoyed this season compared to other things.
I can't believe I forgot that, because that was like one of the last anime I was watching.
You were literally watching it before we started recording.
I know. I'm of the opposite mindset. Like, I would rather an anime take its time to establish what it wants to be. I know a lot of people, especially after the whole debacle with the episode 7.5 due to the voice actor catching COVID, the whole situation, when they're like, everyone online flipped the switch and they were like, this is ridiculous. This is a filler episode and it's season one. It's like, it's not on purpose. Calm
Shit
down.
Happens.
But I mean, that alone showed me like just how popular it was, which I'm like, all right, cool. Yeah, I mean, it had an immense following heading into this season, so it's not a shock that a lot of people watched it. But I think you're in the majority in that a lot of people were a little surprised at how little or limited action there was. And I didn't mind it so much. I thought there was the appropriate amount of action and intensity in it, like balanced with a very strong world building, character building, like just plot building piece to it too.
So
like
when I was gonna say just real quick, when I say that like it didn't get as far into it as I thought it wasn't because I didn't want more action. Like, I know there's a ton of action the lack of action wasn't my nitpick for this. It's that I felt like they could have ended this season, or they could have gotten to a point in this season that they didn't. And it was just a bit more slow and methodical than I anticipated. So
yeah.
And what I was anticipating isn't what I got, but what we got was still very good. It just wasn't in my top three good.
I guess I should clarify in that. I think more people expected it to move quicker, like to get through a lot of that, like, we'll just say, for lack of a better phrase, like the fluff in it and get to
the meat and potatoes.
But again, as a new anime, especially if for those who haven't read it too, like, I thought that it took its time appropriately to really set the tone for what the anime wants to be, right? Like, there's going to be action intensity to it, right? That's just the world that they live in. But there's going to be a lot of, like, I guess, internal struggles. There's going to be a lot of like mystery and cloakedness to what actually is going on behind closed doors, right? Like, that there's there's a lot of moving parts to it, and the last thing you want to do is kind of rush through it,
yeah,
and forget some things, right, and have to like kind of circle back. So I thought, and I really enjoyed the fact that they took their time and did a very methodical approach to how they wanted to go through season one. But I know most of the people online were just screaming, just more dungeons, more battles, more blood, and it's like, okay,
not necessary, but
we can
sure,
get there.
Whatever,
yeah.
But yeah, and then real quick, because we're still good on time. We're fine. Two other shows that I want to discuss real quick, before we get into what we didn't watch, and then we'll go into our number ones. One that you haven't watched at all, bottom tier character, Tomazaki-chan, season 2. I am not done with this. I am on episode 10, so I've got like 3 episodes left, but, I thought that the beginning of the season was awful. It had an arc that overstayed its welcome. It was an arc that lasted 3 or 4 episodes, and it shouldn't have. It really shouldn't have. It should have been a 2-episode thing, maybe 2.5, and it outstayed its welcome and was just, in my opinion, not necessary. But everything after that, I've thoroughly enjoyed the plot progression with the main character, Tomazaki-chan. I think that his story going forward was great. I thought that the dilemmas he's been presented have been fantastic. It's been fun. It's been mostly cheerful outside of the 3-4 episodes, whatever it was at the beginning. I thoroughly enjoyed it, but I think that this season is dampened overall because of the beginning and how it started with that first arc. But overall, I think for a series that hasn't gotten a season 2, like it's getting its season 2 now, but it hasn't gotten a new season in, you know, 5 or whatever years. I actually don't even know when season 1 came out. It's been a while. Yeah. It's just, I think that it's been good, and it didn't really, you know, skip a beat as to what it was doing. I'm not, you know, my face just blew up white because I'm not looking up when season 1 aired, which was 2021. Jesus, I thought it would. No. That's not right. Is it?
Like, I don't know.
Oh, shit, it was 2021. Okay.
So not as old as you thought.
It's not as old as I thought. I definitely thought it came out like 5 years ago. So, I guess COVID time was a flat circle, so it just made everything seem longer. COVID. But
time was not real.
3 years still it's a pretty long wait between seasons. I think that this one overall did a pretty serviceable job. Again, minus the first few episodes, but whatever. And then the last one I know you touched upon briefly is just kind of in your clump, The Witch and the Beast. You did not enjoy episode 1. I saw interest. I saw the intrigue there, and I was like, you know what? Give it the 3 episodes, see how it goes. And I think that this is like my dark horse of the season. I actually really enjoyed this. Like, this is number 4 or 5 for me on my list. Yeah, no, this is like 3 or 4 for me on my list, because in the later episodes, they do a lot of world building in which they kind of give you the organization that they work for and how mysterious it is and all the different people that they kind of employ, and their kind of hunt for these witches and the falsities of reports that they get and the different types of sorcery that's out in the world and all the kind of evils that are out in the world. And I think it did a really good job at giving us interesting characters that weren't just one side of a coin, and they can show off. I mean, minus one character who was a bit one-sided, but like, they gave you other characters that were more interesting and, you know, you're kind of rooting for in throughout the series. So on top of that, all the world building that they did, which I thought was great, it made the show honestly a hell of a lot better than I ever anticipated. So if you're looking for just a series that just out of nowhere was better than it should have been, give The Witch and the Beast 3 episodes. Give it 3 episodes of your time, and you'll know if you like it or not. I did like that halfway through the season, episodes 4 and 5 completely deviate from the main characters that you're used to. They go to like a side character that are also within the same organization, and just kind of give you a little side story there. I think because of what they told in that side story and just did more world building there to kind of give you more rules as to how things happen, I think that it was a lot, like, it was a good little break in between the major arcs that they get into after. So, yeah, it's a bit of a darker show. I will mention that. Darker in the literal sense, but also just kind of content-wise, it's a bit darker. I do very much enjoy it. I did very much enjoy it. It's still going on. There's 10 episodes out now, and I believe that's a 12-episode season. So we've got a couple more weeks of that to look forward to. So if you haven't started, you've got some time to kill before the spring season starts. Give it a try. But there's a handful of shows that I know I have not started that are still on my backlog of to start and to watch. I know you probably have a bunch as well. What in specific have you not started this season that you do want to watch?
Boy, I don't know if there's really not any show that I am dying to watch, I'll say.
Okay.
Because I never started Mashal. Mashal wasn't really like an interest of mine. I thought my wife has read through the series, the manga, and she loves it. But she agreed that like season one was pretty meh, and I'm sure it got the amount of hype from the intro song alone for season two, because season two, based on what I've seen, is just a tournament arc.
It is,
and I'm not a really big fan of just single season tournament arcs, so I'm good there. Like Ragnar Crimson was cool on paper, sounded fun. I might watch it. There's a samurai. I can't remember what the name.
Oh, the one on Max.
Yes, yeah, the one that people are raving about on Max. Which, God forbid, I go out and get a Max account. There's a lot that if I had the time, I would go back and watch, but nothing where I'm like clamoring to find like a free weekend to just go back and binge. It's all shows that if I ever get to it, I'll get to it. There's nothing really that stood out as being like, all right, I need to sit down and watch this when I have the chance.
Yeah.
Ninja Kamui. Thank you. A lot of it was just hype, and a lot of it was like what was trending on social media, and I would just see clips of it, and I was like, yeah, it looks good. I might get to it at some point. Who knows? But I'm like just trying to get through this season of anime and prepare myself mentally and physically season. There's a lot.
No kidding. There are a decent handful of shows that I did not get to that I still really want to get to. Biggest one being Blue Exorcist, the newest season. Before the season even started, I rewatched all of Blue Exorcist to like watch this new season, and I never started it. So for me, that's one of the big ones. Mashal season two, I'm just waiting for the dub, because I watched season one. It was fine. It wasn't great, but it was fine. I will admit the season two intro song is a fucking bop and a half, but I know what I'm getting. I've read about half of the manga, so I know what I'm getting into for this season. So it's just one of those things that I'm more interested in season three than I am this one. Another one that was highly suggested to me from a friend is The Wrong Way to Use Healing Magic. Buddy of mine who rarely will watch anything that I, you know, not rarely watch anything that I don't suggest, but like he usually watches the big popular shows and I rarely hear from him watching something smaller, was watching it and said, dude, if you haven't watched it, it's very funny. I was like, okay, fair enough. I'll give it a shot. Haven't given it a shot, but I've heard, you know, his comedy and my comedy are pretty similar, so I feel like that would be one that is on my definitely go back and watch list because of that reason. But I think the one that I will be getting to eventually, because I've started the first two episodes, but I need to finish the rest of it, is Sandland. So the first half of Sandland came out last week. And of course, it's Hulu/Disney+, so no marketing, no nothing. It just fucking, the first seven episodes dropped, and that was that. Just absolute garbage on Disney's part again. So, but I did watch the first two episodes, and despite it, you know, everybody's opinions on, ooh, all CGI, I really did enjoy it. I thought it was good. I think the animation is fluid, not as fluid as maybe Trigun was, but I think that it was a passable fluid and more than passable, sorry, and good content. And I know that, you know, the passing of Akira Toriyama is still heavily on our minds, and this kind of, you know, you can look at this as being like, oh, they're just dropping it because of that, and then you realize, no, the video game's coming out, and that's the reason why it's all coming out. But I wish that they had marketed this a bit more, because I had no idea this was coming out. Absolute zero idea that this was coming out. So we're getting another part of season for Sandland as to when? I don't know. I got to research that. But that's definitely one that I do want to go back and watch all of. So, yeah. And on to the final bit. Your number one show, our number one show, my number one show. What would you... Do you want me to go first or you go first?
You can go first if you want. You keep saying our number one show.
I know it's not our number one show, which I'm surprised that this wasn't in your top three. My number one is Frieren. We haven't talked about it because I know I'm going to gush over it. You're going to gush over it a bit here and then talk about your number one, which is fine. Like I that's still on my to watch list,
which is fine.
It's on my to watch list. I didn't want to bring it up so you could just talk about it and gush about it. So we'll talk about Frieren. Frieren, from the get-go, we knew it was going to be a great show. It's Madhouse. We knew it was going to be fantastic. We knew it was going to be great. The source material is beloved by a lot of people. I've read the first six volumes. I wasn't a huge fan of the manga itself, but it's one of those shows that it does a lot better as an anime. With all the added music, the motion of just kind of the still scenes and the more quieter scenes, and just even the voice acting, I think that brought a manga, which to me was passable and others beloved, into a better spectrum and into a better medium. I really, really thought that this is just one of those special shows that captivated me from the get-go. There's not much more, like... It deserves all the roses it's getting online, and I thoroughly enjoy it. I can just, we'll talk in circles about it, but yeah, no, it's a special show, and it's a huge show for a lot of people for a darn good reason. I know that there's a lot of people that are like, there's not enough action for this action show or adventure show. It's an adventure. It's not necessarily always action. It's a lot of world building. Like if I had to equate the world building to this, it would probably be, I know I'm going to get a lot of hate for this. It would be a lot like Jobless Reincarnation, where they like methodically start season one slowly and show you the rules and give you kind of the lay of the land and then flip it all on top of its head and do more world building. Mm-hmm. But to me it's the best world building since then. And probably even not probably, much better than Jobless Reincarnation, but it's the best to do it since then, I feel like, in my opinion. And I think because of the world building and the fun characters that it gives you and the good action whenever there is action, I think that this show is just superb and my number one of the season, let alone last season. So
yeah, I was gonna say, no, it is Core 2.
This is Core 2, and Core 2, for all intents and purposes, it is a tournament arc, which I notoriously hate.
It's not in my top three.
Which I notoriously hate tournament arcs, but yeah, I enjoyed this one because it's not just battle, win, lose, battle, win, lose. It's, hey, here's a task, go do it.
Yeah, yeah. And that aspect is fine. I think to draw a comparison to something other than anime, Frieren is just The Hobbit. Like, if you enjoy The Hobbit, like, the actual novel, not the movies, because I know the movies are polarizing. But, like, it is adventuring at its purest form, meaning that it is what you would imagine life to be like if you had to venture off to faraway lands with a small party that takes years and years and years to get to your destination. Like, that is at its core what adventuring is like. And I think this anime embodies that perfectly. The reason why it's not in my top three is because this core of the second core of season one is less about the adventure piece and more about the world setting, we'll say, because it's not so much world building, it's the world setting, in that there's like a magical association. We learn a little bit more about the characters' backgrounds, which is great. We get a little bit more into the different regions and lands, you know, and what the demons have been doing since the hero's party had defeated the Demon King. Like, that piece is excellent. You also get plenty of action scenes as well, which I know people were patiently waiting on. But like, I thought part one, core one of season one was infinitely stronger, in that it is just the adventuring piece. And you get this nice back and forth of like what took place when the original hero's party banded together to go defeat the Demon King, with like what the current Frieren and her gang of misadventurers is getting up to. Right. All these different like life lessons she's been learning, all this growth between the characters, like it's so fantastic to see. And then core two is a little bit more about like a singular focused mission on become first class mage.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. That's fine.
Well, they had a reason why, but
No, I mean, there was a reason.
Yeah.
It was a reason and a purpose, and it's a blockade in the adventuring, which happens, you know, to every single party. There's not a story that goes, and then they adventured and nothing happened and they did it great. The end. Like, things happen along the way. That's understandable. But I think that's why I thought Core 2 was a little bit weaker in that sense, because you're kind of stuck in one place.
Yep.
You know, there was kind of a stop to that adventuring piece, which I was enjoying so much. But again, not to say that it wasn't great. It was definitely my number four. I loved it dearly, but it definitely didn't rise to my number one.
It did for me. It was one of those things that I look forward to it week after week and watched it as soon as I could. So yeah. If Frieren is not your number one and your number four, what is? Magically Average is number one.
My number one is the anime that I cannot stop just blabbering about.
You fucking blabber mouth.
I absolutely adore this anime. It's the dangers in my heart. This anime, I thought season one was great. I thought that they did an excellent job adapting the manga, because it is like, it's one of those really weird slice of life romance type type stories, in that like it's a character who is so off-putting on the outside, right? Like, hates the world, like despises the popularity, thinks ill of everyone, like assumes everyone hates him, and it only wants the worst things to happen to him, so he kind of reciprocates that in his mind and how he views other people. To see a character like that turn into someone who is now grappling with the strongest emotions that you possibly can in trying to love another human being, and expressing that in ways that you thought could not be imaginable like a year prior, is such an incredible just twist to the story. Every single episode has a very meaningful point to it, not just for like one character, but for a number of characters in it, right? It's not like every episode he's finally putting these pieces together. He is doing so, but it's always in different ways. Sometimes it's just through his own recognition of a situation and being like, I am so dense. How did I not see this? I need to rectify this. Sometimes it's through the actions of other people. Sometimes it's not even through actions at all. It's strictly just an acknowledgement of what has transpired and how far he has come to this point. Like, those small moments of looking inward and realizing how much you've grown and actually taking into consideration your true feelings for someone is one of the most beautiful things to see in a romance anime. And this anime does it to perfection. I know that there are a number of different sites online and sources online that do like weekly anime rankings of you know, different anime and like specifically characters or you know, relationships and things like that. I get that, okay? The Dangers in My Heart throughout this entire season was consistently in the top like three spots across a number of them. In fact, one of them, Anime Trends Online, has The Dangers in My Heart, I think, sweeping the entire season, meaning that they never gave up their number one spot to any of the anime. We're talking Frieren, we're talking Apothecary Diaries, Solo Leveling, all of them. It fucking beat every single one week to week to week, and there's a reason for it, because this anime showed what you can do with what is on paper a very, you know, touching romance.
Yeah.
But put into an anime, it becomes so much more. Like, yeah, the choreography, the sound, like the sound design and music choices, the animation quality alone. Like, I really enjoyed the fact that they kept the art style from the manga too, and didn't try to make it something different. Like, they kept the characters true to themselves from the source material, which is always a nice thing to see. I could go on and on and on. This one is hands down the number one for the season, and I cannot wait to see more of it. It is purity, like romance, love, emotions at its just purest forms.
Yeah, and this was the show that's on my to watch list that I need to go back and watch it. I was going to start it on the plane ride to PAX, and then I saw Sandland, and I was like, let's watch Sandland, because it's 7 episodes.
Now you need to...
And then I fell asleep and didn't watch most of Sandlands or any of that, so...
No, this is the... And I say this knowing fully well that I'd watched most of it while working out, but this is one that you need to, like,
sit down
and appreciate.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
Well aware.
It is, yeah. And especially if you haven't read the source material too, like, and you're kind of going into this blind, like, it is just a joy to watch.
Yeah. Well, thank you all for watching. We greatly appreciate it, or watching, listening. It is a podcast after all. We greatly appreciate you listening this far. If you want to know what we are watching next season, we made an episode 2 weeks ago about what we are watching next season and an overview of everything coming out. So go ahead, check that out. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. So until next time, Spark Triumph, we'll see you then.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.